Okay. Am I hearing noise from there? Turn off the tape and see if it still works. Yeah, okay. Now we don't have noise. Fine. Beautiful. The system works. Today is Sunday, February 12th, 2012. And once again, I say hello to my students in front of me and to the many who are listening across the world. It's a very moving moment for me. I didn't realize how momentous last Monday's shiur was until David Goldis of Florida called the next day, and then endless emails came in and people commented. It turns out that last Monday was the 1,000th shiur that I've been privileged to give that went up on the YU Torah website. So ani modeh l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, I drank a l'chaim. And as I told you, I drank the L'chaim liquor made by my grandson. And I told him afterwards, I called him Friday. And I said, I hope you'll be as good a medical doctor as you are in making etrog liquor. So Baruch Hashem. So ani modeh l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, it is an achievement and I'm humbled by it. Secondly, I just want to mention, I want to dedicate today's shiur. I got notice earlier today that... it is a classmate of Rabbi Lichtenstein, a little older than I am, Rabbi Dr. Yaakov Petrov, passed on. And he married a girl from the Bronx, Bnei Akiva, came in Aliyah at a young age, was professor of classics at Bar Ilan. I don't know if his kids went to high school, but that's a different story, the Israeli syndrome. And Yaakov was one of a kind, a great Talmud Chacham, a great Yirei Shamayim, a PhD in classics. And from my generation, we all remember Yaakov. I don't think it was once in a lifetime in the history of YU, the Purim Chagiga, has to be the early 50s, Yaakov with his Chavruta, it's a rabbi, one second, what's the name? He's a rabbi on the east side of New York today. I black out on the name. You know, and is great. Rabbi Asher, what's his first name? Yisrael Vogelander. No. Yisrael Vogelander. So Izzy Vogelander, these are two geniuses you were dealing with. They put on a Purim skit. Izzy Vogelander was tall and skinny. He was the Rav, because the Rav was tall and skinny. And Yaakov Petrov, who was short and a little chubbier, played Ben-Gurion. And Izzy Vogelander played the Rav. And they had a debate between them. The yeshiva was in hysterics, including the Rosh Yeshiva, including Rabbi Yeruchim Gerelich. And until today, anyone who was at that Purim Chagiga, we just mentioned Petrov and Vogelander, and immediately that Purim Chagiga comes to mind. So I want to dedicate the shiur in his memory. One comment, I received an email from a Joshua Schneider, whose father was in yeshiva in my time. His father happened to be a sofer, a sheikhet. He used to shech pigeons Erev Shabbos, kasha them, and the boys in the dormitory had pigeons for Shabbos. And I used to say, it's too bad for the pigeons when Schneider is around. Anyway, his son wrote to me, these are shiurim I gave years ago, so I just want to mention, if anyone still remembers, maybe, I don't know how many years ago, this is 7-8 years ago, I was dealing with the stunning of animals before Shkita in Germany, and the Sri Deyesh quotes a Rabbi Landau, and I wondered whether this Rabbi Landau was a descendant of the Noldeb Yehuda, and the answer is no, it's a different Landau. So I appreciate the knowledge, although I don't know how many people are up to those Sheyurim of years ago. Okay, now I want to come into today's shiur. Today is very important, and it ties together with tomorrow's shiur, and it deals with a very, very basic problem. But just to reiterate, we're talking here about what are the sources for Psak Halacha, and we're speaking about Shelet and Shuvit right now. And we developed the idea that there's various ways to write Shuvot. And last week I discussed Rabbi Ovadia's tremendous critique of the Litvisha world, of the Litvisha yeshiva world. And they don't know halacha, they don't know how to deal with the halacha lemaisa, don't know how to write Shuvot. And I cited to you the tremendous difference between, for the sake of argument, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and Rav Avadya Yosef. When Rav Moshe made up his mind, and to use the language we use in the yeshiva world, had a certain mahalach, nothing could budge Rav Moshe from his mahalach. And even when you said to him, did you see this sefer or that sefer, as I told you, he tells his Talmud, Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, HaMelamed Lahu Yaleinu Tachat Yadi, and I don't even want to look at it. The Rav was exactly the same way. I can't say the Rav was a great posek. He was a briska. Whatever psak he was forced into came about because of the American scene and what he did in America. But even with the Rav, I remember listening to a tape that Rabbi Manny Holzer, Shlav Refu Shlamer, provided me with of the Arche Kaller, early 70s, and Israel was shaking over the Kohen who's going to marry a Giyoret, and if the Giyoret doesn't go through, the government is going to fall, and it was a major issue. Rav Gorin got involved, and all the Israeli newspapers quoted the Melamed Lahoel. And when they told the Rav about the Melamed Lahoel, he said, Kenish side, he was he was just like Rav Moshe. Don't confuse me with what's irrelevant. Whereas a Sfadik Posey goes through all the sources and the Bechir and all the Rishonim and all the early Achronim and the later Achronim. So you all know Rav Avadya, and it's a different derech. And I mentioned that the Hungarians are someplace in the middle, the Minchat Yitzchak, you'll find a lot of Bekiyat as well. The Hungarians sort of vacillate between a Litvisher approach and the Svadik approach, and it's fascinating to see the differences. Hold on 1 second. So a Talmud of mine, Dr. Alan Blau, who is a psychologist, and he's evidently a fine Talmud Chacham, so he contacted me and said that in the Svadik world, the North Africans are more like the Litvisha. And I looked at Rav Shalom Mishash, I looked at his tshuva, he used to daven in my shul, I knew him quite well, I brought him into the Heter HaGunner, it's in Washington, you can read about my relationship with the chief rabbi of Jerusalem, Rav Mishash, who had been in Morocco, Paris, and Jerusalem. And I looked at it, and there is truth to it. He goes with the Mahalach, but tremendous Bekiyat as well. You cannot remove the Bekiyat from a Sfadik Posek. All right, so be it as it may, this is what we said last week. And then I went into Rav Avadya in one of his early introductions to Hadar Paskin. We got involved with a tremendous problem that becomes the core of today's shir. And what was that problem essentially? And I said it very briefly. You can pick up Harav Benny Lau, Benjamin Lau, you can pick up his doctorate. And I told you it's a fabulous doctorate done at Bar Ilan on the Psakim of Rav Avadya. And he gives you all the details. I don't want to mention all the language involved because it's too sharp and too offensive. But Rav Avadya worked very hard to restore the primacy of the Beit Yosef, of Rav Yosef Karo. And in a certain way, he infringed upon the legacy of the Ben Ish Chai, because a lot of the Sfadik world shifted positions in accordance with the Ben Ish Chai, with Reb Yosef Chaim of Baghdad. By the way, there's a street named in his memory right off Machne Yehuda. You can find the street HaRav Yosef Chaim. And Rav Avadya was very bitterly attacked. Rav Nissim and others, this young upshot, who was he? And you can go into Dr. Lau, Rabbi Dr. Benny Lau's doctorate, and you'll see quite a few examples. The Kabbalah played a role. But what I'm concerned with, and this raises a very basic issue, Yosef Chaim, named after the Baghdadi Rav, you wanted to say something?
Oh, no, I just want to say in that parsha, Gerus
Parsha,
Rav Avadya was very critical of Rav Gorin.
No, I'm not here to defend Rav Gorin or to criticize. I'm just here to show you the difference in approach. To me, you have to look at the Melamed Lahoel. Whether we paskin like him or not is a different story. But I mentioned to you, when Bnei Brak, they republished the Melamed Lahoel, that shuv is left out. I mean, it's beyond words what Bnei Brak, using it as a generic term, what they're capable of doing. But you see, the issue we're raising here is a very serious issue. It's the same issue that I raised in class a few weeks ago, and every one of you commented on it, and after class people spoke with me. Rabbi Dr. Lopez Cardoza. I read to you, Rabbi Lopez Cardoza, how he publishes this essay that we don't know what halacha is today, we have to allow freedom of choice, the young people are turned off, and why can't we go back to Paskin like Beit Shammai against Beit Hillel? Why can't we go back to Paskin like Rava against Abaye? Why can't we go back to Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Meir? Why can't we get freedom of choice? And of course, I criticized that position, and I said it would lead to anarchy. And I put into parentheses what I feel very strongly about, that with all our teaching of Yiddishkeit and all our outreach and all our trying to make Yiddishkeit attractive, the truth of the matter is that the basic message that we have to give about Yiddishkeit, and some of you are going into outreach, those of you sitting in front of me, the young rabbis, is the concept that a human being has to surrender to a higher authority. And this concept is alien to the Western world. The Western world lives that the human being is the ultimate arbiter. As long as I don't break your windows, I can do whatever I want. And you know, there have been lawsuits in New York City. Women want to walk half nude on the subways. This went to court. I mean, it's beyond words. But she says very easily, I'm not harming anyone. I'm not doing anything wrong. What am I doing? I'm not breaking your window. At the summer, I feel hot. A man can walk in a polo shirt. Why can't I? Etc., etc. So you see, the Western mind, this concept of surrender, we have to develop the idea there's a concept of Naseh Nishma, and the human being, to quote the Rav, the Rav gave a fabulous talk, Pashat Korach, the early 70s, where these became real issues, feminism, etc., homosexuality, and the Rav gave a fabulous talk on the machloket between Korach, the Adato and Moshe Rabbeinu. Well, one day in my Monday class, I'd like to come back and redo that talk. I did it in the Kol, maybe in the early 80s, I don't remember already. But it's a fabulous talk where you have a basic hashkafic outline. But I want to deal with halacha now, and this is why I showed you the Rambam, the Hakdamah to the Mishnah Torah, that the Rambam raises the very question that Rabbi Lopez Cardoza raised. Why can't he choose an opinion in the Gemara that was pushed away, or that was negated, or abrogated? Okay, and I explained to you, the Rambam uses the words Hiskim Aleim Kol Yisrael. And when it comes to the Gemara, we cannot argue. Now, I told you that I spoke with the Rav on this very first of all. I heard the Rav discuss it in detail when I was a kid, younger than you in the 50s. And I didn't know much then. I told you, when I got smicha from the yeshiva, we were big Amei Haaretz. All that the smicha gave us was the right to continue learning Shas and Paiskim and all that goes with it. But think for a minute, what did we get smicha on? Yoredeya, a few simanim. We didn't do all of Yoredeya. We didn't do Trefat. You don't even do Shchita today. We at least did Shchita. And we know a little Gemara. What did we know? 200 blot Gemara. Okay, all right. Baruch Hashem, I was an emeritus and a boor. I hope I was a yorei chet. That much I hope. But you have a lifetime ahead of you of learning. So I discussed this topic again with the Rav in 1978 when I knew how to learn a little bit. And I was with the Rav in Boston Shabbos that whole weekend. And the Rav felt that this is an ongoing process, that halacha constantly must crystallize. You cannot let machloket go on forever. And I think we all understand that. If we're going to let machloket go on forever, we're going to become two people, three people, four people. And this is a very sad situation. I don't have to tell you, you take Agudat Yisrael, Rav Shach split it into three. I don't think that's a happy situation today. There's a Modia, there's Yatei Neman, there's Yom Liyom of Shas. Modi is Chassidic, Yatei Neman is Litvish, Yom Liyom is Shas, Hamavasa already is the Yerushalayim breakaway of the Prushim, of the Rabbi Parish crowd, and I don't have to tell you, split and split and split and split. But when it comes to halakha, it becomes a lot more serious. Because if I can't eat in your house, and I can't trust your mikvah, and I can't trust your Erev, then we have a major problem. Hashkafa-wise, mela, we can argue, we can agree to disagree, but halakha is a terrible problem. Now, this, of course, raises the question, what do you mean, Hiskimolem Kol Yisrael? And then I explain to you, and I want to be very brief now, because I'm leading into what's major. I want to be very brief, that there's no vote, but this is a feeling you'll get when you're a big Talmud Chacham and you're involved in Pesach, and somehow the world knows. And I gave you a few examples. A classic example is, no posek in the world today will be matter turning on lights on Yom Tov. When I grew up, many fine Hasidic Rebbeim, I saw with my own eyes, turned on lights on Yom Tov. Sephardic Jews turned on lights on Yom Tov. Yitzchak will tell you in Boston, right away, people turned on lights on Yom Tov. Today, we know how electricity works, and it turns out that turning on the light is the least problem. There's boner, there's makeba patish involved, there's a lot of literature on this. No one is going to pass him to turn on lights. Similarly, if someone comes and tells you, Rakefet, you're a rotten, vicious, malicious, hideous, heinous, brutus, depraved, degenerate, the bounce, repetitious, malevolent, no good up, be co-restored, you had a beautiful beard for 30 days, and then you go and take it off, how dare you shave it off? Who's allowed to use a shaver? Anyone who's a shtickle, a Talmud Chacham, will not tell you you can't use a shaver today. All right, you want to make a plea for a beard? I'd make a plea, a different plea. I'll make a plea now. Satmar will say, remember the headlines I got last year, had a professor, I can make a plea for a beard, but it's an emotional plea, it's a historic plea, I don't know, call it what you wish, a sociological plea. But halachically, I know very well we have freedom of choice to shave or not to shave. So you see, there's a crystallization here. Now, with Rav Avadya, you get involved in the heart of the problem. Because here, Yosef Chaim, named after Rav Yosef Chaim Baghdadi, his grandfather, his elder grandfather, the Baghdadi Rav, the Ben Ishkai, was the Posek Achron. And certainly Rav Avadya comes along 100 years later, right? 80 years later, and he throws him overboard. And he goes back to the Shulchan Aruch. And you see, there's a very delicate problem here. If Rabbi Avadya can go back to the Shulchan Aruch, then perhaps Rabbi Lopez Kadosa is right. We can go back to the Gemara and throw it all around. And this is a serious question. And this is what comes up now with Rabbi Avadya, where his son defends him so warmly and so learnedly. Why is the son coming to his defense 20 years after what I read you last week? I ended off the share with the Yalkut Yosef, but not the original Yalkut Yosef. The Yalkut Yosef that comes out from his son, Reb Yitzchak Yosef. And here, Rav Yitzchak Yosef defends his father warmly. Now, there's another problem that we touch upon here. A second problem. Does a Talmud have a right to differ with his Rebbe? And you see, this problem haunts us. I told you, my closest childhood friend who I grew up with is the great Rosh Yeshiva today. Some of you, his Talmidim, Reb Heschel Shachter. So I said to Heshi, how do you come out with a Pesach 2 days Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael for tourists? You're going against your Rebbe. And this was a well-known psak of the Rav. It's not something that was a secret. The Rav spoke about it in public many times. When he visited Eretz Yisrael in 1935, I asked my father, Vasalachtan, Jir, what I should do. That year, Shavuot, as my wife corrects me, Shavuot, fell out Friday, Saturday. So he's not going to do Malacha on Shabbos, but how do you daven? And his father told him, you have to do exactly like an Eretz Yisrael Jew. And his father added, my father Reb Chaim Hatkezak said that the Chacham Tzvi is absolutely correct. No one has been able to refute the Chacham Tzvi. No one has given an answer to his question. And I don't want to, obviously, I spent a year and a half on Yatav Sheni, but I just want to touch the surface. And I asked Reb Heschel, how do you go against the Rav? No, he says, no. You know, what are you saying? A Talmud, when a Talmud thinks he's right and has proof, he has the right to differ with his Rebbe. And this is a very delicate question. Do we have this right? Don't we have this right? Then there's a third problem, which comes up as well. We, Talmidei Chachamim, or who belong to the group of learners, so you know Professor Shaul Liebman's Vort. No one ever said it better. He got up at the seminary once in a graduation, and he quoted what we say every day at the end of Pitum HaKtoret and Kalokeinu. It's Chazal say, Talmidei, some Mesechta lend with us, Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom B'Yolam. And Professor Liebman said, Chazal had a sense of humor. Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom B'Yolam. I don't have to tell you how many fights we have with each other. So you talk about fighting. You talk about differing. What language do you use? And here we have a terrible tradition, I would say. And I write about it in Washington, and I still shiver and shake. And by the way, I'm all shaken up because one of the people I knew very well in Lakewood also died. Rabbi Moshe David Tendler is sitting shiver now. His brother, his younger brother, Rabbi Yosef Tendler, died, who was head up the dormitory, was a mashgiach in Ne'er Yisrael in Baltimore. And I just, why you just sent around the notice. So we have a terrible tradition. I mean, I don't know in the Sephardic world, Yosef Chaim, you can help me. But in the Litvish world, here I come from YU. YU, we were taught to be Western then. What does Western mean? You're very nice, you're respectful, you're reverential. Good morning, Rebbe, how are you? And you know, you don't talk back to someone older than you. And you know, this is the way we were raised. What can I tell you? And I come into Lakewood, and Rav Aaron gets up to give shiur. Gave shiur twice a week, and Rav Aaron gets up to give shiur. And within 10 minutes, the elder Kletzka, the guys that survived the war from Kletzka, among them with Gedolei Yisrael, are shouting at Rav Aaron, and they're shouting back and forth. And suddenly you hear them yell out, "Amoritz!" Talking to Rav Aaron Kotler, and the guy goes, "Apikoiris!" And I was flabbergasted. Then, of course, when I became older and went back in time, I have my space machine. That you know, Dan, I have a space machine in my office. It's locked up there, so I can go backwards or forwards. Time machine, call it what you wish. Let me not translate it, because Yosef Chaim doesn't have to know everything the Rebbe thinks in Yiddish, only a little. You don't know what a great guy he is. I'll tell you about at his brit, I saved the life of the Mohel and Reb Asher Weiss. And the boys, there's a picture in my office. They're naming the baby. So I'm holding the kids. Someone is naming a relative. And Reb Asher Weiss turns to him with Weissberg and cooked the man. And what's the name? He says, Yosef. Says, maybe Chaim Yosef. Chaim Yosef David. So then they say, what's the name of the father? You, Yosef Chaim. No. They thought he didn't understand what they're saying. They're speaking to him in Hebrew, English. Then I realized, I said, Tishma, Hume Dota Mizrach. Oh, the single look, like their faces. Oh. Now they understand it. Baruch Hashem. Anyway, he should have mazel. He's the third generation Sephardic rabbi in his family. Each one married to an Ashkenaziyah. His brother learns from me. His brother looks more Ashkenazic than you do. And he, Tata, looks Sephardic. 1/6 of his blood is Sephardic, and still he looks Sephardic. Anyway, come back here. You know, when we have that tradition of arguing. We yell, we shout, we wash the floor with people. No, when you put that into writing, how do you argue? How does it look? And just think for a minute, the Ra'abad, or what we used to call the Ravid, what he writes about the Rambam. A kid starts reading a Hasagat HaRa'abad, Mushuga Ish HaRuach, he calls the Rambam. No, is that nice? And you see, all this happened to Rav Ovadia. He upset the apple cart. And he argues with his Rebbeim. And he is criticized violently. And I don't want to repeat the language that Rav Nissim used, but you can see it in Benny Lau, in Rabbi Doctor, let me give covered, Rabbi Doctor Binyamin Lau's doctorate. Okay? Now, with that background, you can start to understand Reb Yitzchak Yosef and what he's writing. Now, let me just add one more observation. And this, of course, leads us into tomorrow's shir. Entry fee to get into tomorrow is 36,000, what do they use? Euro to the IOU list tomorrow. Remember, Danny, just remember, anyone walking in, 36, they shouldn't think that it's chinam ein kesef, or they'll throw the shir away. See, there's an undercurrent here. No? Give it to me, Yitzchak. Two words. Das Torah. Da'at Torah. In other words, you see, there's an undercurrent here. I'm going to show you a source that's going to blow your mind shortly. But you see, when we talk about great Rabbanim, and we talk about respect, and we talk about who our Rebbeim are, and all of Torah is built upon Mesorah, and we're not allowed to argue with the Mesorah. Isn't that what I explained to you last Monday? Yamunat Chachamim? How far can you argue? How far can you go? Das Teira? Who are we? Where? How did Chazal put it? In my Rishonim Malachim, Anachnu B'nei Tamuta. I'm calling the Gemara accurately. Everyone calls it Anachnu B'nei Adam, but it's B'nei Tamuta. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow. V'marishonim b'nei tumuta anachnu chamorim. V'afilu loka chamor shel Pinchas ben Yair. You follow? All right, these are delicate questions. Now, let me show you some of the highlights of the Yalka Joseph, the second one. Not what I quoted last week, but what the son is quoting. And with the background that I introduced, you can understand what he's referring to. Here, he begins right away that people who say that you can't agree with the earlier generation, how do they talk so foolishly? Milano Godol Karashi. Who is bigger than Rashi? Shehiye Einei Hagola BePerushav. That without Rashi we wouldn't understand. Remember, I quoted the Rav to you. I heard the Rav say this with my own ears. And he says, everyone is making a big fuss about the Rambam. I don't know, with some anniversary of the Rambam, you can figure out that the 800th anniversary of his death, of his birth, whatever, something in the 1950s. And the Rav said this. And the Rav, this is Brisk. Brisk begins and ends with the Rambam. And the Rav says, everyone makes a big fuss about the Rambam, but they don't realize if not for Rashi, then we wouldn't have Torah Shabbal Petrei. No one would understand Gemara. And this is exactly what Rav Avadya's son says. And as great as Rashi was, v'nechleku alav yotzei yerecho, his own children, his own grandchildren, his own sons-in-law, his own grandchildren, differed with him, argued with him. V'satru devarav b'habei makomot. Ki Torah emeti v'ein machnifim ba l'shum adam v'yiftach v'doro kishmuel b'dor. Wow. Do you understand what this says? Thanks for taking care of the Kvitl. I called them America to tell them that the Kvitl will be in the Kotel tonight. Yashar koyach. And you can send my regards to Rav Bin and tell him chazak ve'amatz and tell him how I defended him. Nevadik and Slabatka, it's a good word. Okay. Do you understand what his son is saying here? How do we have the right? I came in last week. What chutzpah last Monday? That dummy, Rakefet, chutzpah. I gave you an explanation in the Sifri that the Ramban quotes, that the Rav said twice in his life, I don't understand the Ramban, and I'm not obligated to verstehen Yiddish for Ramban. Quote, end quote. Remember? And I, chutzpah, I gave an explanation, and I challenge anyone to prove my explanation incorrect. I threw down the gauntlet. No? That's the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Zayin, Makom Hinichol Avotav Lihit Gader Bo. That in Torah Shabbat Peh, in each generation, there's a little left over that you can discover as small as you are. So you see what he says here. Yiftach Bedaro Kishmul Bedaro. I don't say Rabbeinu Tam was as big as Rashi, but Makom Hinichol Avotav. And if you study my classmate, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Dr. Grach, as you call him, his magnum opus on Yeinam, you'll see how what he does with Rabbeinu Tam, that if not for Rabbeinu Tam, we couldn't make kosher wine today. And we all paskin like Rabbeinu Tam against earlier authorities. And many times we paskin against Rashi and like Rabbeinu Tam. And we paskin like the Ri, we paskin like the Rashbam. And he says, machloket, and a new generation coming along and saying something and getting, and saying something which is correct and certified, is built in to Torah Shabbat Peh. And gam haritba b'chidushav l'psachim daf memchet amit bet, katav al Rabbeinu haRambam. He differed with the Rambam. You know what they said about the Rambam? Mimosh ad Moshe lo kam kamosha, from Moshe Rabbeinu to the Rambam. Nevertheless, the Ritba differed with him. Ein masol panim bahalakha. This is unbelievable. But you see, where do you draw the line? This has to haunt you. If this is correct, then Rabbi Lopez Cardoza comes along with fellows who graduated this very kollel, who assist him and are part of his institute, and he says, no, we want to make an adjustment going back to the Gemara, going back to the Mishnah. See, it's not simple. Where do you draw the line? And here you have something that is earth-shaking. And he quotes here Sefer Chut HaMishulash. It's a Sefer on the Hungarian Rabbanim. And listen to this. Sheshaal hagon bal k'tav sofer li'aviv hagon ha'chatam sofer. Eich lo ya'er la'hashiv l'sho'alav b'dvar halakha teket u'miyad. U'mitoch dvarev she'shiv l'nachon amah. Da'a she'bechol davadon ke'mit Hashem. Ish al ha'yeda, asher yetzei lefneichem lahir lekem haderech, shebo yelchu v'yim lefamim haraya einu emet, mikom makom hadin emet hu. Now these are revolutionary words. To a certain degree, shocking. See, the Ketav Sofer, you all know the Ketav Sofer had fabulous children. He started a shul shelet, a chain, a dynasty, a yichis chain that continues until today. And you all know Rabbi Akiva Eger had no nachat. If you look at his descendants, it's one of the saddest stories ever. It almost rivals Moshe Mendelssohn. I don't go into more detail. Kvod Hashem Haster Davar. But he had one son, a grandson who became a Hasidic Rebbe, and out of that grandson, Reb Leibel Eiger, you have a continuity until today, and out of his son-in-law, the Chatam Sofer, I would venture a guess that 85% of his tens of thousands of descendants through the Chatam Sofer, the Schreiber family, the Sofer family, are Shomrei Torah Mitzvah. I would venture a guess, 85%. It's an educated guess. But take a look. So the Ketav Sofer, Avram Binyamin Sofer, asks his father, how do you pass him so quickly? You can imagine the Ketav Sofer, the Rav of Pressburg, the Rav of Bratislava, everyone is turning to him, everyone is bothering him. You all know how Rabbi Yitzchok Hanin cried. I told you the story that years later he said, why did I leave Nevada? It's the biggest mistake of my life. Had I remained in Nevada, I could have written monumental works like the Aruch HaShulchan who succeeded me. He went to Kovno, he went to Kaunas, and I don't have to tell you, that was the most important rabbinate in Lithuania, White Russia. You'll say, what about Vilna? Vilna did not have a chief rabbi. There are reasons why, it's not for now. I've lectured on it in the past. It goes back to the time of the Vilna Gaon and the big machlokes there. They never had a chief rabbi. But Kovno had a chief rabbi. That was the most important rabbinate. And he was bothered every minute of the day. He said, I couldn't write anything. Of course, he wrote 5 svarim of Shelet and Shuvat, particularly with Heter Aguna, that are eternally important. But nevertheless, he longed for the peace and quiet of Nevadak. So here you have the Chatam Sofer, and he gives answers right away. And I want to tell you, I'll always give young rabbis advice. Don't give an answer right away. We'll talk about it, Jeff, in class. I'll show you sources. Take a phone number, call back. But the Chatam Sofer, right on the spot, gave answer after answer after answer. So son told him, how do you give? So, you know, not a, you can't be right all the time. No one is right all the time. Lo aleinu. We're humans. We're mortals. Can't be right all the time. And he answers his son that in every generation there's a big Talmud Chacham who is placed at the head of the Jewish people, Isha Halacha Eda, like Moshe Rabbeinu, Shua, Sheyetzelef Nehem. And he always has to answer. And even if at times his proofs are not correct, Mikol Makom Hadin Emet Hu. Do you follow that, Yitzchak? Paraphrase it, restate it. Jewish observer, you have just heard Das Torah. Just heard it. But, okay, what the Chatam Sofer was saying, I'm the boss of this generation, I'm the head of this generation, I bear the responsibility for this generation, and I answer immediately, and whatever I say is correct. I'm the head. Wow. But you can differ with earlier authorities. Yivtach b'doro k'shmul b'doro. This is only a great Talmud Chacham can have this self-confidence. God have mercy on us when pseudo Talmud Chachamim have this self-confidence. But you see, this tradition is embedded in the rabbinic tradition. Ephraim, you're having difficulty, but that's the Chatam Sofer. You're a shtickle of Hungarian, you have to... you're a real one. And what am I supposed to say? I'm soon going to have another great-grandson who has Chatam Sofer blood in him. What am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to say? What can you do? It happens to the best of us. It happens to the best of us. My wife is, I don't know if she's upset or laughing, but we have an upsharing coming up of another great-grandson this June, July. So everyone says to me, did you have an upsharing? I said, well, I grew up, I'm like, I'm Jewish today. An upsharing. And my granddaughter-in-law, she should live me well, a fabulous young lady. So they told her, you have to make him a lava malka and wash and, you know, the works. And this is a skula. And, you know, and Baruch Hashem, I didn't know him without a malava. Who heard of a malava malka in literature? I read the memoir literature. The Lithuanians say, who heard of a malava malka in there? You went back to the basement. You were lucky you had food for Shabbos. But Hasidim, a malava malka, right? Today I'm very makpid. After Lubavitch got hold of me in Australia years ago, I'm very makpid to eat something Saturday night, because the Tchiyat HaMetim comes from that bone, if you know what I'm talking about. And that bone is sustained by what you eat on Saturday night. So I'm always makpid to eat something L'shem malava malka. But I don't do it, you know, properly with a tablecloth, with challah, with candles. I've seen by Hasidim, Baruch Hashem. I'm not opposed. Believe me, I may be laughing as a Litvak, but my heart rejoices as a Jew. Anyway, now he quotes the Yavetz, that everyone's yelling at my father, how dare you differ with your Rebbeim, how dare you differ with the tradition, how dare you differ with the Ben Yishai. By the way, all the sources are in here. He quotes and he gives you exactly. Terrific. The Shilat Rabbis says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, and Rabbi Yaakov Emden says you're absolutely allowed to argue with your Rebbe. And he says, and if you know a source your Rebbe doesn't know, your Rebbe should thank you. Listen to the words he used. And the Rabbi Machzikim Lo Tova Shehid Silam Melipol Bereshit Hashkia, that you saved your Rebbe from making a mistake. And I have to tell you that I appreciate those words so, because Talmidim mitalmidayo temi kulam. All right, whether Rabbi Landau, that's cited by Rabbi Chiyak of Warburg, is a direct descendant of the Rabbi Yehuda, is not the end of the world. But at times, a student will send you a source that you don't know. And it either will support what you're saying or it'll knock down what you're saying. But if you're an honest individual, you're the happiest guy in alive. You know another source. A Talmud has enlightened you. And of course, this is the Torah Shebaal Peh. This is the tradition. This is in the Litvashi Yeshivas. You should know that Rabban Kotler, Rabbi Rechbel Leibovich, they would have the outstanding Talmudim before they gave a public shiur. They bounced the shiur off a chosen few that would come into their study and bounce the shiur. Before they went public, they wanted to know that they're on firm territory. They're on ground that is not going to fall away under them or have an earthquake in the middle of the shiur. And this is Mital Midai, Yotem Mikulam. I saw it in the Rav all the years. I sat in the Rav shiur. You all know the story. We all, anyone who was there in that era, the Rav is sitting here, let's say. Rothkopf, you know, is sitting right here. Jerry Blau is sitting there. You know the picture in my office. But what you don't see in the picture, Rabbi Lichtenstein is sitting right there next to the window on Amsterdam Avenue where Daniel is sitting. And whenever the Rav got frustrated with us, he remembered Gemaras by heart, but he couldn't tell you the daf. And he would turn, Nuaren Zag, Zag, Zag me, Avu Shtaitas. And Rabbaran would shoot back in 1 second flat. Psachim Dafnunalava. In 4 years I sat there. One time he was wrong by one Amit. It was a Gemara and Afei Psachim. And Rabbaran said, Kuf Aleph Amit Bet. And it really was on top of Kuf Bet Amit Aleph. That was the only time in 4 years. But you see, the Rev turned to Rabbaran. He knew Rabbaran's strength. Here is Mori Urebi, Rabbi Yosef Tova, Levi Soloveitchik, turning to a young American, a young French kid who grew up in Chicago and spent a few years in Brooklyn, and he's turning to him time after time. And now he quotes what we quoted last week, which is a Meridik Vart from Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner. And that Vart you can't forget, where Rabbi Chaim, and this is the Litvisha tradition, where Chazal say in Pirkei Avot, Havein mitabek b'ragleihem, that you should be mitabek in the feet of the Talmidei Chachamim. So everyone interprets it mitabek, it means the dust on the floor. You should sit before a Talmud Chacham ke'evid b'fnei rabo. And Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner interprets it, Miloshim vayevak ishimo, that you have to fight with the angel. You have to fight. You have to fight with your Rebbe, with your other friends. It is a fight between Talmidei Chachamim. It's a fight on the truth. And there's nothing wrong with this feeling of fighting. Okay. Then he goes in and he quotes that he saw in his father's, Rebbe Avadya's, Ktav Yad, that he wrote 50 years ago, when he quotes it, Bezeh HaLashon, Hinei Yesh Sugim Shonim Berabonim V'Lomdim, V'Ein Kol Adeyat Shavot, V'Yesh Kitar Hashem Yeru Mishpat Katuv Shochar Al Gabi Lavon, V'Nichtav B'Seifa, Harei Zeh Be'Hineyem Kalacho L'Moshe Misinai. And he goes on and on, and you can feel here the tension of the attack on his father. That his father says they're individuals, that if it's written in a sefer, it's holy, it's sacred. You can't argue with it. And if someone comes in, the entire live so kachetik, and if someone will come along to paskin against that sefer, they will, their teeth will chatter in anger, chagot shame, and they will tell that rav that he's an apikores, he's an amaretz, how dare you paskin against the sefer that has been accepted. And he says, this is not the derech. Everyone's entitled to their learning. Everyone's entitled to their insight. Everyone is entitled to their chiddush. And you can't get angry because someone paskins differently. And this is Rav Ovadia. You can feel the defense. On the other hand, he cautions the person, even where you think you're right, even where you think the previous achron was incorrect, even where you differ, do it becovered. Do it hesitantly. Do it with difference. Do it like a Talmud b'fnei Rabbo. Rebbe, may I beg to differ with you. I have this source. Rebbe, how would you relate to it? And here he tells an unbelievable story. And this story I heard many times, but generally I heard it with a musa deher. I don't know how to say that in English. A musa deher. With a musa concept. A musa rhythm. And here he says it with a halachic understanding. And the story is magnificent. One of the greatest gaonim that we have in Polish Jewry was a Rebbe of the Ramah, was Reb Heschel of Krakow. And all the great Polish rabbonim of the Ramah's era, and we who sit in this room who are not Me'edot HaMizrach, our life has been totally influenced by this generation. They were all Talmidim of Reb Heschel of Krakow. And yet, we have no sefer of Reb Heschel Mikrakow. Nothing in writing. And tradition has it, the Chidah tells the story. The Chidah claims Rav Chaim Yosef David Azulai, who was a Gaon Adir, Sfadik, Posek, who knew everything, as we see from his Sfarim, including due to his travels in Europe as well. He made a living as a Shadash, Shliach Rabbanan. He raised funds for the Sfadik communities in Israel. So he traveled all over. He also saw manuscripts all over. That's why many times he has original manuscripts and makes emendations that later we discover the manuscripts and we see he saw it all 100 years earlier in his travels. So he heard the following story, that Reb Heschel was learning a Mashar, which was the generation above him, and he was very upset with something the Mashar said, and in his anger, he threw the Mashar, the Sefer, on the floor. In his anger. Along came a Talmud, shortly afterwards, and the Talmud said, what are you so upset about? And Reb Heschel told him, this Mashar doesn't know what he's talking about, and the Talmud had fun for the Mashar. The Talmud explained what the Mashar meant. And at that moment, the great Gaon was flabbergasted how he was angry at the Mashar, and it really was his own fault. He didn't understand the Mashar properly, and Kibel al Atzmo, he vowed that he will never write a sefer for fear that a future generation will read something he wrote, not understand it properly, throw his sefer on the floor in anger. And because of what he did to the Mashar, he never wrote a sefer. And you see, Rav Ovadia son is saying, both approaches are not correct. You have a right to differ with earlier generations. But if you differ, do it with diffidence, with respect, with covet. Don't be arrogant. Don't say, Bishvili nivra ha'olam. Now, I don't have to tell you, from a Musa point of view, this story I heard many times, and it repeats itself in the Lithuanian Musa literature, because what was Musa about? Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, what was Musa? A basic component of Musa was tikkun hamidah. It's a word you never heard today. Today they talk about tikkun ha'olam. I'll worry about tikkun ha'olam when I finish worrying about the Jews. Tikkun ha'olam is wonderful, but first we have to worry about the Jews. Then we'll worry about the world. Ger v'toshav anochi. First I'm a ger, then afterwards I'm a toshav, etc. But tikkun hamidah was something I was brought up on by the Mashgiach, by Rabbi Yaakov Moshe HaKohen Lesson, my Rebbe of Musa. And you see, tikkun hamidah is very difficult because you have to be humble, you can't get angry, you can't be arrogant. This is difficult, very difficult. And that's why the Musa movement never caught on. The Hasidic movement conquered the world, conquers the world today, conquers Torah Shraga, conquers to a certain degree the Gris Kolel. The minute we all dress in black and white, we are part of the Hasidic world. For good or for good, I'm not making a value judgment, but I'm describing facts as they are, and I can explain myself, but it's not for now. Tikkun HaMidah is very hard. But you see, when you tell the story about Rav Heschel, and you see him getting angry, and see this fits right in with Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest Jew, the greatest person who ever will live, lo kam kamosha od, and you see the anger, what happened in the Midbar. So you see, getting rid of anger is so important, being humble, not being carried away by your brilliance. Wow, this is crucial, and this is difficult. Tikkun HaMidah, not to get angry, to be considerate, to give the right of way when you drive, wave someone into traffic, stop when a woman or a man want to cross the crosswalk and they're not even in it yet. You stop, you bow to them, you wave them. Oh, thank God I learned Musa. Yaakov, Baruch Hashem, I had a great Rebbe of Musa. You understand? I don't believe in Houston you had Rebbeim like Rebbe Yaakov Moshe Cohen Lesson, but you still had good Rebbeim because you're here in Yerushalayim. And here he writes that, and here he comes right to the point. He says, I know in this generation people are angry at my father. Masha Chalukim al Rabbeinu Hagoyin Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zrich Tzlanik Levracha L'Chayim Alba. And they yell and shout against people who write against the Baghdadi Rav. And they put it into print. They should know this is incorrect. The tradition is we have a right to differ, but the right to differ has to be done with respect, with humility. And here he says something so crucially important. And here, of course, this is not only the Sfadik world, the Rav would sign on the dotted line. And he says, when we're Rabbanim, when we're Dayanim, we can't just be Chamon or say Svarim. Now, it's very interesting. This concept of a donkey carrying Svarim, you can do a doctorate where the concept comes from. But he says, Kavachin Chazal, Megillah Daf Chavchet Amidbet, Tzana Malei Svarim. In other words, what does it mean? You can know every Sefer in the world, but that's not Psak Halacha. Psak Halacha is to look into all the Svarim, to understand what they're saying, and if he is on the level to Paskin, then he has the Paskin with his Seichel, with his insight, with his understanding. And Hashem will be the judge whether he's right or wrong. And Heyu Matunim Badini quotes Pirkei Avot, don't be quick to paskin, think it out, but if you've thought it out properly, you can agree or disagree with those who came before you, But your heart has to be l'shem shemayim l'lo negiyot u'mikol shekein kishemotzim sa'ad d'dvarav b'yachronim achayrem. And certainly if you have the proof that goes with it. So you see, in my humble opinion, and we're not finished yet, but this is overwhelming material. In my humble opinion, with the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, the basic psak crystallized. I don't believe we can say today that there's been a crystallization. And it's hard for me. I can tell you with Yontif Sheni, it's very hard for me to see, because, you know, I live in the heart of Jerusalem, and I see Jews walking to Netzach, Rabbi Gusman's yeshiva. I'm driving my car. I'm talking on my telephone. I'm writing letters, and they're making Kiddush and davening Musaf. To my mind, those are brachat levatala. What are they doing? They're missing tefillin. You understand, intellectually, I'm so committed to the Chacham Tzvi, to Reb Chaim, to the Chazon Ish, to Rav Kook, to Rav Shmuel Solant, to Rav Michal Yechiel Tuchachinsky, to everyone who went with the Psak, to my Rebbe, Mori Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik. I'm so committed intellectually. But I have to be honest, there's no crystallization. It's a Machlokes HaPaiskim. Rav Moshe Paskind, it's the famous story for that fellow in Matastov, that rabbi in Matastov, I believe it's in Chinuch, I think for about 10 years, he was living off his parents sending him money, and Rav Moshe Paskind calls man, he's getting money from America, he has to observe 2 days of Yontif. The man Ali Geret made Macht Ashen Blatter from Rav Moshe. Go and translate that into English. He turned Reb Moshe into dust. He ripped the heck out of him on that particular issue. But who am I to argue with Reb Moshe? Rabbi Lichtenstein shifted gears, I told you. When he came in Aliyah, went back for Shavuos, he did like the Rav. I heard many, many years later, he did like Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach. So you see, I can have a point of view. I can feel very strongly. Fine. When people call me an Yontif Sheni, I always say to them, do you want a psak, or do you want me to explain why you're doing what you're doing? I'm not an idiot. They'll tell me they're observing 2 full days. That's what their rabbi in Tinek told them. Fine. I'll explain why he told them that. If they tell me they're observing 1 day, and it's interesting, it depends what hotel you go to, but at the King David, it's basically 1 day. That much I can tell you. At the Plaza, it's basically 2 days. So you 1 day, fine, I'll explain it. You want a psak? All right, I'm willing to paskin that. Then I paskin what I paskin, a day and a half l'chumra, for many reasons. I don't want to go into it now. I spoke with the Rebbe about this in great detail. But you see, to attack Rav Ovadia because he differs with the Ben Ish Chai, Rav Ovadia is very strong. This is not Gemara. It's not Rishonim. It's Achronim. We cannot say yet there's a total crystallization. And I need not tell you, with the gathering of exiles in the state of Israel, there's certainly no crystallization. My son-in-law, Reb Chaim, some of you know Reb Chaim Eisen, so this Shabbat he was in Ramat Rachel, he was with a group there, and there were a number of groups there. So he told me, they have a big minyan, everything fine, good. You never know what Nesach. The Chazan gets up, Ashkenaz. The next Chazan gets up, Sfad. The third Chazan on Shabbos, Eidot HaMizrach. And you see, we're so far from a crystallization here that who can come and say, Pesach comes, I don't have to tell you with Kitnigat, we're what? We're approaching Purim, Pesach already, it's beyond words, how quickly the year has gone. Michael, you may be a wise man, but the year is wiser than you and runs quicker than you. And what are you going to do, Pesach? Kitnigat, make Kitnigat, no Kitnigat. You have no idea what crystallization. Okay, very fascinating, but I don't believe, and I'll show you proof. I stand very firmly. I still totally, absolutely, completely differ with Rabbi Lopez Cardoza. I quote the Rav time and again, when you learn Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel, it's the same Torah Shebaal Peh. But Chas v'Chalila, we should paskin like Beit Shammai against Beit Hillel today, when there long ago was a crystallization, that the halacha is like Beit Hillel. Achronim, fine. If you are so smart, all right, you got proof, you have a source, you can defend yourself, you're Rav Avadya Yosef. May the Ben Ish Chai forgive me, but Torah has to move on. Now, here at the end, he now goes into the language. Very sharp language was used against Rav Avadya. This language affected Rav Avadya's entire life, in my humble opinion. I don't want to play the role of psychologist, but Rav Avadya had two tremendous problems. One, he didn't come from a rabbinic family. So you see, in the Haredi world, or the semi-Haredi world, yichus is extremely important. In the world I come from, I'm the happiest guy alive that 48 years after I started writing my doctorate on Rabbi Dr. Bernard Revelin. If you've read Washington, you know what happened when Rabbi Dr. Bernard Lander assigned it to me, and how he broke down and cried, his Rebbe, 48 years later, I found out that Rabbi Revel is my cousin, that his grandparents are my great-great-grandparents, as my mother always told me about her family. And finally, memoir literature came out, and I put it all together, spoke with the people in B'nai Brak, etc., etc. But this is my world, and that's the greatness of YU. It's a public trust, and anyone can rise to the top. No one owns YU. No one owns the Reshi Yeshiva ship. Rabbi Lichtenstein may be Mori Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik's son-in-law, but Rabbi Lichtenstein was a gaon adir in his own right. You understand what I'm saying? YU is YU. It's not Chevron Yeshiva, it's not Panovich. Panovich is also more of a public trust. Chevron is less today. But in Rav Avadya's world, he had no yichus. And his father was had a grocery store. By the way, with the grocery store, a Talmud called me and gave me more details that his children talk about, that he was directly from Avadya's children. That, remember I told you that his father insisted when he turned 14 he has to work in the grocery store? So as Rebbeim came to his father and pleaded with the father, we'll give you the money, what is it, let him come to the yeshiva, he's a goan, don't stop his learning. So my Talmud told me that Rav Avadya, his father, wouldn't let him go to the yeshiva. But what happened, he noticed that whenever Rav Avadya was in the store and he was out of the store, merchandise was missing, merchandise was robbed. And his father realized that Rav Avadya's mind is totally in learning. He has to see what's going on in front of him. He's speaking about a Rambam, he's thinking of Rashi, he knew everything by heart. So at that point he realized, he'll lose his whole parnasa if he lets him remain in the grocery. I have to thank Rabbi Yeshua Greenstein for filling me in on this. And Rav Avadya's daughter says this is the only story Rav Avadya would talk about his childhood. The only story that he told them, how his father felt everything was being pilfered, and that's why he let him go back to learn with his great Rebbeim. It's a beautiful story. But you see, Rav Avadya suffered from that. Also, you have to know, Rav Avadya was not from the area of the Ben Ish Chai. So the followers of the Ben Ish Chai were furious. This young Talmud Chacham, Gaon, whatever he is, but he is attacking the Ben Ish Chai, and they ripped Rav Avadya apart. And here, so many years later, his son is giving them Musa, that even if they differ with his father, but you have no right to talk about him the way you do. And he says, with all the respect that we have to the previous generation, we can differ, but you have to differ with kavod. And he quotes his father from the original Yaakov Yosef that I quoted last week. And he quotes his father here, "Ledaber bi'anavata hora becherdat kodesh b'hachnaayetera v'lo ya'iz ledaber gvoho neged yedolei olam." And he says, if Rav Avadya writes with humility, and he writes with sources, you have no right to attack him so bitterly and critically. This is Torah Sheba'al Peh. And here his son quotes Rabbi Yosef Chaim himself in one of his introductions, L'Sheilotu Tshuvat Rav Palim Chelek Aleph. And he writes, the Ben Ish Chai writes that be careful the way you speak, be careful the way you criticize earlier Gedolim. And he gives us the example I refer to, Milanu Gadomi Rabbeinu Hara'abad B'Torah V'Yirah Asher Hisig Al HaRambam Kama Hasagot V'Zilzel B'Chvodo V'Lo Haya Chashuv Be'Inav Kol Kach V'Sof Tavach Ma Al Talo Shebo Chachmei Hado Acharev V'Kimu Devrei HaRambam V'Tirtzu Kol Otom Hasagot Asher Alav. He says, look at the Rambam. Look at the way he wrote against the Rambam. Look at that Lashon. Look at the Zilzel. Look what he says. Mishugah Ish HaRuach. And what happened? Generation upon generation dealt with Machloket, the Rambam and the Ravid, and Perish upon Perish justified the Rambam against the Ravid. And look at that language. You can't use it. You may very well be wrong. And then he quotes, that was Eidot HaMizrach. He quotes Rav Pinchas Horowitz. This was the Rav of Frankfurt, the Baal HaFla'ah, one of the great Gaonim, as the Torah world of Germany is coming to an end with enlightenment. And he quotes this great Gaon, and he says, look at the generation today, that they open their mouth against Gedolim. They speak with Midat Gasut Ruach. Ad sheyifaru pihem lahagdil atzman kineged Gedolei Yisrael shebedorot shelifneihem. And they come out against the previous generations and they don't understand their words. And here he says to them, a little humility. Im harishonim kamalachim anu b'nei adam. Actually, the Gemara says anu b'nei tamuta. V'yim rishonim k'v'nei adam anu k'chamorim. V'afilu lo ki chachamor shal Pinchas ben Yair. Now, with the Hafla, there's an amazing story. Who knows the story? Ah, oh, there's an amazing story. I did one of my masters on this story, the Detten Cleves, right? You've all heard of the Detten Cleves, 1766. Without going into great detail, a divorce was given in Cleves, Germany, and the man evidently suffered from a paranoia complex. The world is out to get him. He may have been what we call today a schizophrenic. A psychologist may very well correct me and say it's called bipolar, I don't know. And there was a tremendous machloket. Someone to give a get has to be a bardeya. One of my grandsons just spoke with me in learning on Shabbos and asked me, how do you judge a person a bardeya? It's a very interesting question. My daughter, who's the female rabbinic lawyer in history, told me that Rav Yashiv Paskind, if the man can say Shema Yisrael, that is sufficient. But my grandson was telling me a case where he could only signal, he could say yes or yes, yes. And one meant yes and one meant no, but he did understand the difference. I told my grandson, it would seem to me, if Big Postum handled it, they would say he could give the get. But it's a very difficult question, and it involves a Shatish, it involves Mamzeret. The question was whether the get was good or not. The Rav of Frankfurt, the girl was a very frum girl, Leah Gunzhausen, if I recall correctly, and his name was Isaac Mannheim, and she was a very frum girl, a proverbial Beis Yaakov girl, a generic Beis Yaakov girl, and she said she would only remarry if the Rav of Frankfurt, Rav Avram Abush, said the get was good. And Rav Avram Abish Dafka took the position the get was no good, he was insane, And very few Gedolim agreed with Rav Avraham Abush. You know, the Yehuda said the get was good. Other Gedolim said the get was good. And it was a tremendous machloket. Historians say that this machloket weakened the rabbinate right on the verge of enlightenment. And it was one of the reasons why enlightenment could spread so quickly, because to the world at large, the rabbis seemed to be fools fighting so desperately and bitterly and caustically over this issue. They burned the tshuva of the Noda B'Yehuda in Frankfurt am Main. They actually burned the tshuva in public. While the machloikis was at its height, Rabbi Avraham Abush died. So the Frankfurt community made a tnai that any rabbi who would succeed Rabbi Avraham Abush would have to be someone who was not matir the get. Okay? I heard the story from the Rav, but I later read it in many different sources. So the Rav told us, goes back when I was learning your day with the Rav, I was learning Simon Bet about who can be a sheichet, and we were dealing with a shota, etc. So the Rav told us that that the Baal HaFlaw wrote a tshuva, and he was matir the get. And what happened was, when he finished writing the tshuva, he asked the Shamus, you don't know what it was like to write in those days. You wrote with ink, and you had to sprinkle sand on it to dry it. So he asked the Shamus to give him the sand to sprinkle on the tshuva. And the Shamus inadvertently gave him the bottle of ink. And he spilled the ink on the tshuva, blotting it out. So the Baal HaFlaw said, I have to rewrite my tshuva. And the Shamus said, Rebbe, Sizdar, feel matirim. There are a lot of matirim. There are enough matirim. Don't trouble yourself. Don't rewrite the tshuva. And he didn't rewrite the tshuva. And then when he stood for the rabbinate, he had never come out against the Avraham Abush. No one knew this story, and he became probably the last Rav of the old school of Gadlut and Torah of Frankfurt am Main. And this is the story with the Baal HaFlaw. But you see, this theme repeats itself time and again. If you differ, you have to differ b'kavod. You cannot use strong language. And don't differ so quickly with the earlier generations. Then he gets down to Rav Ovadia, and he quotes from Shele Tetshuvot Rabbi Omer Chelek Tet. This already is from the last volumes. This is from today. This is from Rav Ovadia, is the Gadol Hadar and the most important person in the state of Israel. The Rav Ovadia Yosef, Mamlech Malachim, he determines who the prime minister will be. I mean, this is not a small matter. And Rav Ovadia already in Chelek Tet, here in his Hakdama, he comes out against the Young Turks. And he says, let me commentate. And let me talk about a takala chamura that some of the tzirei hatzon b'nei yeshiva shelo higi lahara don't know how to paskin umeizim pneim lichtov maimarim b'halacha, and they have the chutzpah to write maimarim about halacha v'chokim arabotehem, and they argue with their rebbeim, they argue with the previous generation, and they have the chutzpah umafasanim if the vrayim barabim. V'lo yadu, v'lo yavinu, v'hashecha hitchalchu, they walk in darkness. And he says, oh boy, is he going crazy. Ki yisol kod defem apisarat hakenes, it's a bunk stara, it's what comes out of their belly. L'lo chochacha mutzdeket me divrei haposkim Hashem mipim anu chayim. This is not the way to paskin. This is not the way to publish. And he says, these tzi'irim shalom milu kresam b'shasu poskim u'mitnasim lamar like Avshalom ani amloch v'yatzok Hashem lavavi. And he totally castigates them. And here's the sword. Here's the dig. Here's the makir b'patish. And they have the chutzpah to paskin against the Beis Yosef. You see, once again, it comes back to the Baghdadi Rav, to Reb Yosef Chaim. And who is the Beis Yosef? Av shegedolei harabanim cheyidu shekibalnu aleinu hura'at maran bein lahakel bein lahachmir afilu keneged elef poskim shechokim alav. That the Beis Yosef had such a following that even if 1,000 Rabbanim, it's Lashon Guzma, but 1,000 Rabbanim differ with him, the halacha is like the Beis Yosef. And you youngsters, you little kids, you ignoramuses who are claiming ani amloch that you can argue, you're going to argue with the Beis Yosef? You're going to argue with me because I criticize or paskin differently than the Ben Ish Chai? How dare you raise your hands against the Beis Yosef? And you see, this goes back to the words of the Rav when it comes to the Shulchan Aruch. Hiskimu aleim kol Yisrael. You don't have to be Rav Avadya to say this. If a seminary will open now and they're going to announce, and you know, everyone is fighting YU today, so Chovevei Torah still studies the traditional Yoredeya. But imagine a seminary will be open, everyone looks for a Chiddush, time to wake up. We are teaching rabbis, and our basic text will be Maimonides' Code of Law, Hilchat Shechita, Hilchat Isuri Macholot. Oh boy, this is against tradition. This is against Torah Shabbat Peh. This is against the Munat Chachamim. Let me take that word and use it. Let me refer you to all the sources I quoted last week in Shir. Of course we have Amunat Chachamim. Of course we have Lo Tasua Mikol Davay Asher Yagidlecha Afilu Al Yamin Smol Vasmol Yamin, whatever that means, whatever we explained last week. But that's Torah Shabbat Peh. That's Halacha. I never heard it applied to whether or not traffic lights should be blue, yellow, red, or green. And we'll discuss that tomorrow. But this is very powerful. And then he goes further. I want to finish. But he goes further and he says, people have spread the rumor that my father is upset when young Talmidei Chachamim differ with him. And he says, Chas v'chalila. He says, he is not upset at all. Halavai they should differ. Halavai that they should be correct. Halavai that they should have proofs. But if they differ and their mezalzel b'divrei esos sfarim b'bituyim harifim, this is not the way a Talmud Chacham should write Torah. This is not the way you do a shakal v'taya. This is not the way you relate to elder rabbanim who are bekiyim in every little secret that you can find in Torah Shabbat Peh. And here Rav Avadya hits the nail on the head. And Aaron Rakefet signs on Bugadol. And this generation, Lumatzot, and this generation, Maber b'toarim l'mishena ra'uy. And v'ata, quote this, write it in your notes, v'ata rabu ha'toarim v'nitma'atu ha'ga'onim. And boy, we're living in a world. I cannot read the Hargrave Deep Press without getting sick. I have to read it Friday night after 10 when I'm tired enough not to take it too seriously. Everyone, Harav Hagon, Harav Hagon. Then there's Harav Hagon Hagadol. Then there's Maran this, Maran that. Gentlemen, I can say Edut Nemana that I was at a Brit Mila. It was a grandson of a Talmud of mine. And I went to Lechazek at Yadav. His kids had become very black and the grandparents are white. You people, but to say the freedom of choice in life. And I knew the players. I knew the yeshiva. The Rosh Yeshiva there was my Talmud. Everyone was called up Harav Hagon, you know, with the honors, etc. And one of the Goyim couldn't read Hebrew. I'm an ear witness. He could, the bracha, Hashem Yirachem, how those bracha came out. Harav Hagon, oh boy. If the Talmud in Chicago was listening, a very famous rabbi, I'll tell you a cute story. He once introduced me as Harav Hagon. So I told him afterwards, when you say Harav Hagon, to me it's Harav Hagun. Because everyone's a Goyim, and then the Goyim I hear called Goyim, I can wrap them in my back pocket in learning, and Rabbi Lichtenstein can wrap them in one little fingernail. So he wrote me a letter with a shayla. Duff guy was able to help him. So he writes the letter, Harav Hagon Hagadol, and he underlines Hagadol. So I said, all right, you got me. I can't. I what am I going to argue with? But I'll tell you. I had a very happy moment in Florida a year ago. A Talmud who Nebuch is not alive now, she had just come back from Israel, and he showed me a sefer that came out. Rabbi Yisrael Weiss, and it's a memoir. He was chief rabbi of the army, and he taka writes Harav Hagon, etc., etc. Yours truly. So I told my Talmud, I'm happy with this. He says, I said, you're going to ask me why? Because he saw through the American accent. You understand what I'm saying? He saw through the American accent. I have to give him credit. This is a born and bred Israeli, and he saw through the American accent. But boy, is Rav Ovadia right. I love it. V'atai rabu ha-toarim v'nitma'atu ha-go'onim. Wow. And if you look at the Rav stationery that appears in my two volumes on the Rav, the introduction, the letter, you'll notice on his stationery, no titles whatsoever. Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, Joseph B. Soloveitchik. No titles whatsoever. Ah, unbelievable. And here he comes back. He quotes, my father is very upset with these achronim who argue with him and criticize him. And angry that he goes back to the Beis Yosef, and they don't understand with the Beis Yosef. He's like the Talmud. He was accepted by everybody. And then he quotes a tshuva of Rav Shrira Gaon, the hacholek al agonim kacholek al Hashem v'torato. For Katav Shem she'en yachas ben dorotenu v'marishonim afilu ki yachas hakofim hadam. And boy, this is powerful. That is not only the Gemara, not only what the Rambam said, but the Goyim. Once the Tkufat Hagolim is closed, we can't argue with them. If we have a psak from Rav Shrira Gaon, from Rav Amram Gaon, from the great Goyim. Spoke about the Bahag. We'll see next year with a Rivman how that plays a very big role in why Jews are killing each other over an Erev and whether or not you can carry on Shabbos with an Erev in London, Flatbush, Manhattan. It'll reach Israel soon enough. It may have reached Yerushalayim already. You may have over 600,000 people in the streets on a daily basis. But you cannot argue with the Goyim. But these words that you're going to compare us to the Goyim, it's even less than a monkey to a human being. How do you compare a monkey to a human being? We're on a lower level than the monkey compared to the Goyim who was a human being. And here he ends off this long and very insightful introduction that touches upon so many questions that will haunt us as we become Gedolei Yisrael, and even not even Gedolei Yisrael, but when you're dealing with questions from the populace, how do you explain Torah? How do you deal with all that's happening around us? So he ends off quoting his father, that if you have a good svara, if you have proofs, then you have every right in the world to express them, even if you differ with those who came immediately before you. And he says, when it comes already, going back to the Shulchan Aruch, then he says, you cannot differ, only behechrech gadol, if it's a very unique circumstance, and we're going to talk about this in great depth, if not this year, next year, Be'ezrat Hashem, but there is hiskimu aleihem kol Yisrael. And to understand all this, you have to umiskenim et bonein al darkam b'psak halacha v'kva amru gadol shimusha yoter milimu da. And we've already been told that shimush tamidei chachamim sigmar in avodah zarah is more important than the actual learning. And I've said this many times, Eitz Chaim Hillel Machzikim Bo, Torah Shabbat Prayer has to be a living organism. And I can remember how I write about this in Washington, of course, the difference between Professor Shaul Liebman and Mori Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, a Talmud who learned by both, the Rabbi Rotten. His words are fabulous. People told me the book is worth that little quote itself. I say the pictures are worth more than the purchase price. But he's that little quote itself, he said. And he said, it's a fabulous quote. But you see, the Rav was never without students. Walking through the hall, walking across the street, walking to the subway. Why? Why were we so attached? Because we saw Gottlieb in Torah. We saw his deportment, his gestalt, his relation. We're talking about him. I remember walking to the subway. We're talking about Stevenson versus Eisenhower. And his insight, and he told us Stevenson can never be elected because he's an intellectual, but the Rav loved him. But he said, Eisenhower, you know, you learned from him. You learned life. This is Shimush Talmidei Chachamim. He answered the door. He answered the phone. There was no shtick involved. There was no Harav Agong, Hagadol, Hadadiz, that, Amaran. But I never forget when Rabbi Blau, Jerry Blau, my chavruta, came back. He was one of the earliest young people to go to KBY. So he goes to KBY, and he comes back, and we're in Shir. This has to be about 1961, I would say. It's after he had spent a year in Israel, after college. And he says to the Rav, we're talking with the Rav after Shir, we're arguing, whatever it was. And he says, the Rav said, and the Rav says, which Rav said it? And he says, Rebbe, I mean, you're a Saseyu. What's going on here? The Rav said, you understand? So this is so beautiful. And he ends off, Hashem Yitbarach Yiskeni L'mot Torah L'shma V'lasuke Shmaita Libede Hilchata V'liyot Miyotom HaMachapsim Et Hemet U'modim D'Rabbanim Hainu Shvachayhu. And if a person admits you're right, Modim de Rabbanim, a beautiful play on words in Hebrew. This is your praise, that you know how to say, you're right, a Talmud opened my eyes. Another rabbi gave me a source I didn't know, I didn't see. To quote the Rav, no one knows everything. This is their shvach. V'yikuyim banu, achal tsha'alti me'et Hashem, otar vakesh, shifti b'veit Hashem kol yimei chayai, lachzot banom Hashem, ulevakea b'heichalo. Yitzchak Yosef ben Lemaran Adoni Avim Oriva Rabbi Hagon Rav Avadya Yosef Shlita. What a beautiful, beautiful introduction to the new edition of the Yalkut Yosef. And here you see the difference between Rav Avadya wrote some 20 years earlier and when his son Rav Yitzchak comes along. And now, 20 years later, when Rav Avadya, he can defend him kedat v'kedin. So to reiterate, what do we do today? The whole day was devoted to Rav Avadya Yosef, but it's much more than Rav Avadya Yosef. The issues that we touched upon have far-reaching application. Torah Shabbat Peh, how does it work? What's Emunat Chachamim? Where can we differ? Where can't we differ? How do we differ? How do we get the right? Who are we? Rakefet opens his mouth. studied with the Rav. He spoke in learning with Rav Meishu. Spoke in learning with Rav Aaron Cutler. Spoke in learning halacha lemaisa with Joseph Eliyahu Henkin. How do you have the chutzpah to open your mouth and give 1,000 in first year to go on the YU website? But this is Torah Shabbat Peh, Yiftach Bedaro, Kishmuel Bedaro, Mokom Hinichu Lo Avotav Lehit Gaderbo, Vani Modela HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me just get to the freebies. This is Iturei Yerushalayim from Ateret Kohanim. This is for those of you that are in my camp, Torah-wise and politically. Very fascinating stories of Rav Cook here. And halacha lemaisa dealing with what we deal with Har HaBayit, Mitzvah Tatlui Paretz. This is Rav Asher Weiss, Rabbi Rubin. This, who gave me this article? It deals with Das Torah, but there's nothing in here that adds to what I'm going to present. But this is Avi Weiss writing Open Orthodoxy, a Modern Orthodox Rabbi's Creed. Written about, what year is this? It's about 15 years ago. It's a fascinating article, and it shows you what later develops into Chovevei Torah and where they claim they differ from YU and RCA, etc. A fascinating article. He quotes Rabbi Belkin, and I could have given him the source, etc. It's interesting. Today it's moved way beyond what's written here, but you can see his thinking. And part of it, actually, I have sources. I'm dealing with my lecture in Das Torah, but I have much more. I have sources with Russian Jewry, etc. If anyone is interested, I stand in awe. Koren went into publishing Svarim, dealing with YU Svarim and English, and I have to give them all the credit in the world what they have published here. It doesn't take away from Geffen that helped the OU publish my book, but Kinat Sofrim Taber Chachma is a very interesting catalog. And here is for Yitzchak, the only one who can appreciate this, the greatest shows of the 20th century. Gentlemen, tomorrow is 36, but in honor of 1002, it's on the house. The Rebbe is generous. Until we meet again in health and happiness, das v'danya. Thank you.